Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'd like to welcome you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to share some great content with you this evening on the psychology of asking questions, how to become a master asker, how to effectively ask questions in a sequence to improve the law of averages of creating results for you in any situation that you find yourself in life. Tonight's content is not just about selling, it's really about asking, how to become an effective communicator, how to be able to create long-lasting connections through small talk, fact-finding, and rapport building this evening. This is one of my favorite topics, as it is also covered in great detail on one of my 10 CD audios, one of those dinosaur programs, CD audios, now available on download at goldenmastermind.com. And the name of that CD set is The Psychology of Asking. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then I'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. For those of you who attended last Thursday's Millionaire Blueprint event in beautiful Palm Springs, California, it was an absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to connect with you in such a beautiful location in the Mojave Desert. So for those of you who have never been to Palm Springs, absolutely a place to spend a great January. I'll be hosting several events coming up this calendar year, including a couple Millionaire Blueprints later in the year. This Saturday, I'll be in one of my favorite cities with some of my favorite entrepreneurs, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, this event typically is standing room only. I do have two rooms available in the ballroom, so we will have plenty of room, and it will be absolutely standing room only. That is this Saturday from 9 to 4. It used to be the Hilton at the airport. It is now a DoubleTree. The following Saturday, which will be the 31st, will be my first ever trip to the cowboy boot capital of the world, beautiful El Paso, Texas, way out in West Texas. When I say way out in West Texas, so far way out that is on the New Mexico border, which borders, for those of you who are trivia advocates, the city across the border of El Paso is Las Cruces. It is so far on the west side of Texas that it's about a 12-hour drive from Dallas. That's how far west, when we say west in the Pecos, that is where El Paso, Texas is. That is Saturday, January 31st. On the 7th of February, I will be in beautiful Spartanburg, South Carolina, with Bridget Bartley, Jennifer Trinkner, Casey Fluff, and a whole group of exceptional entrepreneurs. Spartanburg, by the way, for trivia fans, is the home of one of my all-time favorite bands, the great Marshall Tucker. So for those of you who are coming to Breakthroughs to Success, in February, I have one of my favorite singers, Mr. Trent Chandler, who I have personally paid to have him come to my Breakthroughs to Success event, and he will be singing Can't You See, the Marshall Tucker cover. On February 14th, I will be in Los Angeles, California, specifically Marina Del Rey. Now, there's going to be some great speakers there. There will be Crystal Lowry will be there. Brittany Carroll will be there. And there will be some other speakers. Tara Romano will be attending. Tara has moved to beautiful Marina Del Rey. That is in a fabulous location at the Marina Del Rey Marriott, right down on the water. On February 28th, I will be in Long Island, New York. That will also be a standing room only event. I want to thank Joy Schoenholtz and also the whole group of people who are hosting that, Kelly Bartoletti and many, many other people. I know that Don Ferrantino will bring some of her teammates, but Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz are absolutely stepping to the plate in that event. March 7th, I'll be in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, I have all of my events are already on my website. You can purchase tickets for them. I have about 20 events already pre-booked. If you would like me to speak in your city on March 21st, that is the only opening in my schedule up until June 6th. So I'll be in Houston, Long Island, Philadelphia, Portland, South Portland, Maine, Fort Lauderdale, Weehawken, New Jersey on March 28th, Norwalk, Connecticut on the 14th of March. So many, many events, and I look forward to connecting with many of you from all around the United States. If you are serious about taking your sales, marketing, your entrepreneurial career to the next level, if you're looking for someone who can assist you to understand cause and effect, why you do what you do, if you're looking for someone who can assist you to address an addiction or someone who can assist you to effectively brand yourself, you might want to consider coaching with me. I've coached over 9,000 clients. that computes into over 50,000 plus hours of one-on-one and personal coaching. I routinely have a 12 to a 14-week waiting list for my coaching services, and if you are serious, you may contact me directly at 209-932-0227. That's 209-932-0227. Also, last but not least for tonight's call, any of you that have not taken advantage of a new group that Carolyn Olson and I did start recently, right before Christmas, called the Guilt Cleanse. It is an absolutely great forum for you to receive some great content on how people are releasing, letting go of guilt and shame, letting go of resentment, and many of the emotional situations that sabotage us and keep us doing the same thing over and over, desiring to create a different result. The guilt, it's not the guilt cleanse, it is guilt cleanse, and you may join that group. That is a private group, and we would welcome more members. We've already crested over 2,000 members in that group, and I've seen some absolutely life-changing content written. Also, many people hold back on their writing skills and ability, and in the forum there, many people are for the first time ever to air some of the events that have created the emotional situations that create their anxiety. And I've seen many people write their first post, share content, and then it gives them like the space to write more creatively. So guilt cleanse. With that, I'm going to move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It gives me great inspiration to be able to share tonight's content because it's really the inner game of selling. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. And if you're going to be a master entrepreneur or you're going to be a professional, it's important that you understand the inner game of any modality that you decide to become a professional in. And the fundamental foundation of selling, closing, prospecting, becoming a master asker is really understanding how to ask a question. Even though it seems very academic, asking is a very underdeveloped skill. Many people will misinterpret the term asking and you insert the word talking, and that's typically what they do. They end up talking, they lose control of their emotional situation, they talk too much, they have anxiety about saying the wrong thing, being judged, making a mistake, getting rejected, being abandoned, making a fool of themselves, i.e. or failing. And you will not find college classes on asking. I have a degree in radio and television. I graduated from a fine university, Midwestern University, right outside of Kansas City, Missouri, Northwest Missouri State University. I'm a graduate of 1979, and I received a degree, a Bachelor of Science in Radio and Television. I learned how to enunciate. I learned the glottals and diphthongs on the tongue. I learned how to effectively have tone in your voice. I learned how to have pitch in my voice. I learned how to drop an octave. I learned how to pronunciate German, Austrian composers as I was a DJ on a classical radio station, a rock and roll radio station. I learned how to write sales copy. I learned how to sell effective radio and television, but I never learned how to ask. It wasn't until my network marketing career in 1990 launched until I learned the power of asking and the significance of asking. Anyone who understands the art of persuasion understands that persuasion is a way to be able to not to convince someone, but to assist someone to see your point of view. That's what the art of persuasion is. And sales is going to be based on a law of averages. It's not a numbers game, but it's more importantly you understand the law of averages and how to have the averages in your favor. The same with gambling. Anyone who understands gambling doesn't play a game of chance, they play a game of odds. And I see many people misconstrue that if I just call enough leads, if I just talk to enough people, well, surely someone's going to sign up with me. Theoretically, that equation would hold true. However, the more you understand how to ask questions effectively, the more you understand the sequence of a question, the more you understand how to set a sale, you'll be much more effective at closing the transaction. You don't close the deal. You want to be able to create a transaction. That is where money moves. But if you are someone who is conditioned to justify, validate, and explain yourself based on past conditions that have become your behavior, i.e., if you grew up in in an addictive household, if you grew up in a dysfunctional household, if you grew up with anger, rage, a passive-aggressive personality in your circle of influence, or an aggressor, if you had to become a codependent early in your life, there's a high probability that you got conditioned to explain, validate, and justify yourself. And if that becomes your communication style, it will hinder your ability to ask, to not only ask, but how to effectively answer a question. A large percent of society not only doesn't know how to ask a question, they're not skilled at answering a question. For those of you who are starting to understand my philosophy, have coached with me, have spent time at my events, you understand that there is an inner game when it comes to selling. As I said, sales is the highest paid profession of the world. It requires the ability to write sales copy, effectively speak, communicate, and understand this predictability. And the more you understand this, why people do what they do, the more effective you will be at being able to communicate effectively. If you're sitting on an airplane and you are someone who is overwhelmed, you have anxiety, you talk yourself out of an opportunity to connect with someone next to you because you don't know what to say, who to be, what to do, you're afraid you might make a mistake, get judged, or any of the anxieties that most of society goes in based on the failure model. A large percent of society gets overwhelmed about the potential possibility of failing. The fear of failure is really masked into the fear of success. Most people's anxiety about failing is about judgment, rejection, and abandonment, but really most people's anxiety about failing is really about succeeding. And if you say, I have fear of failing, what you really have fear of is the responsibility of success. Can I keep it? Can I hold it? Can I massage it? Can I control it? No, you can't. Success is to be experienced. Success is an attitude. Success is a process. And until you really understand the laws of engagement and how to effectively ask the questions, that your success will be minimal. Asking represents a contradiction for many people because we are told as children that children are to be heard, not seen. We are told to be quiet. We are told to shut up. We are told not to make a move. Don't make a noise. Don't scare the fish off. Oh, don't do this. And a multitude of situations that inhibit our ability to express ourselves. Your creativity, your innovation is going to be a direct reflection of your right brain, your ability to creatively express yourself. I had the privilege of sharing some classic quality time with young Nikita this last Thursday and Wednesday in Palm Springs. Nick was very creative when it comes to the art of photography. I also taught Nick once upon a time how to be able to present his photographic skills. I've watched Nick on a couple of occasions be able to present the concept of, or the concept and reality of being able to do headshots for some of my clients. He was able to package it in less than 3 minutes, and he has a standing line of people waiting for his services of value. That if you want quality photography, I absolutely endorse Nick. He did some great shots of me that you may have seen at the, that I presented on my Facebook page this last week after the event. And see, the ability to articulate your feelings into words, paint pictures with people. Nick's very skilled at painting his pictures through a photographic medium. I'm also a photographer. I took photography all through college. I took it through the graphics art department and the art department, and I learned how to create composition. That's the outcome. And that's the ultimate goal, is to have a vision of the outcome that you seek. You want to be able to paint the picture, create the composition, see the outcome before you start through the lens finder, through the viewfinder, through the short lens, the telephoto lens, any of the above, through the microscope. You want to be able to see the outcome, beginning with an end in mind. So if you're in a business that requires leverage, teammates, sales volume, it's important you understand how to create the volume. The sales volume is created by creating sales. Sales is created by a process. You don't just walk up to someone, talk to them, convince with them, and then they automatically join your enterprise, although there are a few people who are skilled enough to be able to do that. But you can enhance the law of averages by your ability to write sales copy, brand yourself, write posts, create interest on Facebook, on LinkedIn, or any multitudes of social media forums and platforms where you attract people to you. Attraction marketing is where people come to you. They see you as a person of influence, affluence. They start to see your value. They buy into your services, and they want to be a part of what you do. This is conscious, unconscious branding, and this becomes a whole different equation of marketing when you become that skilled. That creates unequivocally a qualified lead. A qualified lead is someone who's a qualified buyer, meaning that you have created some kind of marketing campaign and or strategy where people come through your sales funnel, whatever that means. There's a term for internet marketing called sales funnel. Well, that is a process, but the funnel that you create where people are walked or brought through a process that doesn't require a lot of your communication skills or a lot of your talking, it creates a different ease in the transaction. Once again, this is a process. So many people talk themselves out of branding and gaining the repetition of experience because of their own low self-esteem. I don't want to put myself out there. I'm not good at writing. I'm not good at speaking. Who am I? What are people going to think of me? What are my broke friends going to think of me? What is homie the dog catcher down the street going to think of me, or John the fire or whatever the situation? A lot of people exhaust themselves on wasted energy about an outcome that never happens. This is called avoidance. A large percent of the population talks themselves out because they don't really learn how to ask. They talk themselves out of an opportunity rather than asking themselves why they do what they do. Most of society wants the how-tos. They want the technical know-how. They want the blueprint. They want the recipe. They want instant gratification. And I don't blame you, because we all want a result. However, there is a certain skill required to create this transaction, and it's going to boil down to this. Are you effective in your communication skills, specifically in asking? There's asking, there's answering, and there's listening. Those are all skills. There's auditory skills, that's listening. The communication skills are the ability to ask the questions in a sequence, the 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. The average person's attention span is relatively short. It's anywhere from 28 to 31 seconds, 45 seconds, 60 seconds, on up to 2 minutes. That's why you'll occasionally see an infomercial that's around 2 minutes. There's also the 30-second infomercials, which typically are 22 minutes of content. You also have to factor that people that sell advertisements, the branding agencies of the world and the advertising agencies of the world, for every 30 minutes of television time, 22 minutes of it are devoted to television content. The other 8 minutes per half hour are devoted to advertising. Those 8 minutes are broken into 16 30-second commercials. That means for every 30 minutes of television time that you watch, the electronic income reducer, for every 30 minutes, 8 of it is devoted to commercial advertising. That means the advertisers understand predictability. That means why people do what they do and why people buy. Now, once you begin to understand human behavior, how and why people buy, their patterns and behaviors, their predictability, your law of averages become enhanced. Now, when you are communicating with someone, your objective is not to have a GOFC, a good old-fashioned chat. Your objective is not to throw up all over them, have a diatribe, a drunkalogue, or a long conversation selling the benefits and features. I recently watched someone grab a waitress, pull them over to the side, talk to them for 5 solid minutes. The waitress felt very trapped, couldn't get away, and my client had no idea why that person didn't return their phone call. The reason being, because that was a very non-professional, non-effective way to communicate. The most effective way is to ask a question. The sweetest sound to a person's ear is the sound of their own name. Get comfortable in asking someone their name if they're not wearing a name tag or a name badge. What's your name? How are you today? This is simple small talk. The most common commonality in asking a question is ST, small talk. Small talk is just friendly conversation, just passing time, passing through. How you being, how you doing. If you ever go to Australia, they'll ask you how you're going. In America, we go, how are you doing? How's it going? And so that's just small talk. When you're on an airplane and someone's sitting next to you and you don't get any eye contact or the person is not paying any attention, it's probably not a great idea to go, hey, how you doing there? Or because you're not getting a signal. But if you get someone who gives you some warmth, gives you a signal, and you can tell that there's an openness and an opportunity to connect, that's when you engage in small talk. How do I talk to people in the grocery line? Well, you probably don't. unless there's an opportunity. I see that many people think that they have to go out and talk to everyone. That's not effective. You want to be able to have a strategy when it comes to creating leads. Leads are a way of life. Leads are what you require in your banquet of life, and you require this equation, more leads than you have time. And the more skilled you become at attracting a qualified lead, the higher the law of averages that you'll create the transaction. Cold calling. Cold calling is typically not an effective way to create a lead, although someone who's very skilled at it like myself, I can take a list of 100 or 1,000, and because of how long I've done it, the repetition experience, the skills I've created over a long career, I'm going to create some quality conversations off that list. That's not the opportune way to create a lead. That is one way, and that is one way typically out of desperation that you can do that. I used to own my own lead generation company. I've also been a lead vendor and affiliate of lead companies. And typically, most of the leads that you buy are non-qualified leads. The lead generation company may tell you, yes, that they went through a website, they requested information, that you have a survey, they're requesting you get back with them, they have $10,000 to invest, and oftentimes, the people are shocked you're calling them. It's baffling, but that's just how it goes. You have to learn to let people go relatively quickly because of this equation. Devote your energy where it's deserved, not needed. Not everyone needs your product and services. However, there is a demand for what you have, and there is an outcry for what you have. No matter what you have, there's going to be someone who requires what you have. But it's going to be your responsibility, the ability to respond, to qualify the buyer for the products and services that you are marketing. How do you do that? By asking questions. When you are communicating with someone, your objective is to qualify them, not talk to them. By qualifying the lead, you find out if you have a buyer that has a probability of being able to receive a value of the product and service that you're marketing. You also want to be able to market and sell the dream. You're going to sell a product, a service, a benefit, and a feature, and you're also going to learn to sell the dream. And to be able to do this, you have to get out of your own uncomfortability, your anxiety, your overwhelmed state, and you have to let go of the story you tell yourself about sales, marketing, prospecting, and lead generation. There's a high probability that most of you will have rejection, abandonment, and overwhelmed issues that will create a fight or flight type of feeling that you will then do your best to avoid the perceived pain of that which typically never happens. People seldom, if ever, reject you when you call them. In an isolated incident, someone may be hostile. That seldom ever happens. It's only happened to me a few times in a career. You will find that most of society will not hang up on you. They'll give you the opportunity to engage with you, and when someone tells you they're not interested, let them go. There isn't anything worse than someone that continues to try and shove something down my throat when I've let them know and conveyed that I am not interested. And the same situation will happen for you. If you're a stalker, a beggar, you're desperate, you have broke thoughts, poverty consciousness, you have lead poverty, then you'll hold on to your pretty little pets, your leads. You won't effectively prospect them. You will beg them. You'll spend way too much time with the wrong people. When you've created a set of leads, it's this simple to call them. You call them by stating your name, where you're calling from, and the purpose of your call. The purpose of your call sets up the call. It lets people know that you have a purpose in mind. You have to also get this statement out of your head. I hope they don't think I'm trying to sell them. You are. You unequivocally have products and services that you're in the process of qualifying the buyers for your time. And you have to be able to convey that by being relaxed, in the present, in the moment, not getting overwhelmed, not taking a situation personally, and not telling a story about an outcome that never happens before you start so you can justify avoiding the perceived pain so you can be and stay disappointed. You will never get to the land of promise by avoiding the process of learning, receiving, asking, deserving, repetition, and experience. It's really a very simple question, a relaxed interview. Your objective is not to be intense. Your objective is not to be callous, cold. Your objective is not to control the conversation. Your objective is to have a relaxed conversation. You can only relax by letting go of control. If you have to control the outcome, control being judged, control being rejected, then you'll get overwhelmed before you start and you won't won't be very effective. And if you are one of these people say, oh, my God, I blew it, well, you typically blow it because you get overwhelmed. Instead of listening, you check out, you get on your agenda, you don't effectively qualify the buyer. When you call a lead, the purpose of the call is not only to qualify the buyer, but to find out if they have a problem you can resolve. You typically are going to resolve a problem with three situations: a benefit, a service, which a product, or you're going to be able to sell the dream. Whatever the situation is, you want to become effective at those three situations: benefits, features, services, and selling the dream. And selling the dream is just as easy as it is selling a product. Some of you will seduce yourself into believing that you can sell a product, a benefit, and a feature. You've had a product experience, but you haven't had a money experience. So you end up saying this to yourself, I haven't, so I can't. It becomes conscious, unconscious. And when you come from that space, then you send an emotional, telepathic mixed message. That mixed message says, please ask me how much money I haven't made so I can justify feeling rejected. That mixed message that you send says, ask me how long I've been doing this so I can justify I've been doing it a long time, have no results, I'll feel rejected and abandoned, go ahead and get it over with. That's the mixed message that you send. That shows up in the law of attraction when you send a mixed signal from anxiety, fear, or doubt, and you send that message, then you get the biochemical feedback that you seek to create to fulfill your disappointment. Even though you tell yourself, that's crazy, that's not what I want to happen, I can't believe that's what happened, that is what happens when you create that kind of emotional mixed message from anxiety. Anxiety is hate, resentment, anger, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. The most common commonalities that affect new people who don't really understand sales, marketing, prospecting is rejection, abandonment, and overwhelmed feelings. Overwhelmed feelings will create the stories that you tell yourself. Abandonment, rejection is also going to be based on past events where you were emotionally traumatized, abandoned, neglected, abused, let go, terrorized on the playground, or any multitude of situations that represents rejected. If you had a father who was going to come pick you up on a Saturday on his visitation day and he didn't show up, that will create a long-term memory. And if you don't let go of events like that, then that becomes your identity. Then you virtually set yourself to be and feel rejected. When you begin to let go of rejection that is not real, when someone says to you, I'm not interested, they're not rejecting you. They're letting you know that they're prejudging the situation before they see it. They're letting you know that they don't want to hear your message. But if you get all caught up in, oh, I can't believe I'm going to rob them of an opportunity, but don't you think if I just talk a little more? No, I don't think that. I think you should let someone go that isn't interested so you can find a qualified buyer. Qualifying a buyer is nothing more than a sequence of questions that goes something like this. When you say to someone, the reason I'm calling you is because you had responded. The reason I'm calling you is because you had requested. The reason I'm calling you is because you sent me a message in my inbox. The reason I'm calling you is you had responded to. The reason I'm calling you is you sent me a text. The reason I'm calling you is because your name was sent to me by. I mean, that's, you state the purpose. The reason I'm calling you is because you had requested information about starting a business. The reason I'm calling you is you should express interest about starting a business from home. The reason I'm calling you is because you'd expressed interest about improving the quality of your health. The reason I'm calling you is because you'd expressed interest in improving the quality of your skin. The reason I'm calling you is because you expressed interest about improving the quality of your energy. Is that correct? Is that correct? Is that right? Is that what you did? That is how you end the sentence with a question. As you begin to end sentences that aren't statements, many people will create a statement. A statement isn't a question. How are you doing is a question. It's a great day outside is a statement. A great day outside, isn't it, is a question. There's a big difference between a statement and a question. Many people use statements in their communication style, but they don't really ask a question. They come from a very vague communication style that's non-decisive, non-committal. When you're non-decisive and non-committal, your communication style will showcase it by saying things, is that just what you do? And you'll come across with a sense of uncertainty that telegraphs your low self-esteem, your inability to commit, and your inability to decide. When you become skilled at this process, this is auto-suggestion. It's automatic, autonomic. There's no pressure on you. Pressure is an illusion. If you press yourself to close a sale, then you're forcing your will on your prospects. They tend to back up, overstate their purpose, tell you what they think what you want to hear, and then never follow through on what they tell you. The reason they do this is because they are blowing you off. But if you shut down in mid-sentence because you're desperate, if you're someone who has to say the right thing, if you're in the middle of a conversation trying to figure out how to be cool the next sentence, then you've lost before you started because you're not attentive, you're not listening, you're not in attention, and you're not going to be able to ask the questions in a sequence. These are basic, standard questions you ask someone. What do you do for a career? What do you do for a living? What do you do for a job? It really means, what do you do for a vocation? What do you do for a vocation? Oh, I do a little bit of this. I do a little bit of that. Some people are very vague in their answers. They're very guarded. That should be a telegraph or a clue. That means they're not very decisive. They're probably noncommittal. You should be able to figure that out relatively quickly. I can appreciate that you've done a little bit of this and a little bit of that. What does that mean? Well, I bounced around a lot. I was an oil catter, and the people will say things like this. Great. How long have you been a doctor? How long have you been a general contractor? I mean, you ask this question. These questions are 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. This is nothing more than conducting a very relaxed interview. If you were going to hire a pet sitter to personally watch your animals while you're on a vacation, I guarantee you that you would qualify that person for the task that you're hiring them for. You'd want to know their credentials. You want to know where they learn. What other dogs? Can you give me some references? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page? Are you on LinkedIn? So what you're looking for is credibility, and that's also what you're doing. When you are prospecting and interviewing someone, you're seeing if they have credibility. Are they credible? Does their word mean anything? What have you done for a career? The reason that you ask the questions is to fact find. You want to find out a little bit about the person that you are communicating with. What have you done for a living? What have you done for a career? You may ask, where are you from originally? How long were you in that job? How long were you in that career? Then you ask this question. This is the question that starts to lay the foundation for the communication that you are having. Was that a good career? Was that a good vocation? Was that a great job? What you're looking for in this type of transaction is dissatisfaction. When you find that someone is dissatisfied, now you can provide a solution. This is when you begin selling the dream. Selling the dream is not really talking. Selling the dream is asking to find out if the person you're communicating with has a problem you can resolve. In this portion of the transaction, in this portion of the emotional communication, this is when you can paint the picture. This is when you can converse a little more. This is when you may state a benefit and a feature. But you have to be able to do that by ending it with a question. Rule of thumb, don't talk longer than a minute. Anything longer than 45 seconds to a minute, your prospect begins to lose interest. And if you're someone who talks in riddles, talks overwhelmed, talks too much, goes on and on, speaks in diatribes and drunkologues, then you're not going to be very effective in this process. 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. What do you do for a career? How long have you been doing that? Is that a good vocation? Have you ever considered starting your own business from the comfort of your home? Have you ever considered being an entrepreneur? When you move into that type of question, now you're in the purpose questions. You fact find to find the purpose. You want to find out if you can provide a solution. If you can provide a solution with products, services, benefits, and then you present someone the opportunity to live the good life, then your law of averages are enhanced. The way you ask the questions will dictate the flow of the conversation. If you are anxious, overwhelmed, freaked out, if you are someone who gets overwhelmed, if you're consumed with making mistakes, being judged, have to validate and justify, then there's a high probability you will TTM, talk too much. And you'll also TTF, talk too fast. A large percent of the population talks too much, talks too fast, and they're so concerned with getting done that they don't really garner the value of the conversation. They're so concerned with their agenda, they want to ask all the questions, get all their questions answered, that they don't develop the reflexes to be able to adapt to an answer that may not be in your script. When someone cuts you off and says, what's this about, you'd want to use that person's first name. Tom, this is about me, looking for people who want to start a business from home. Is that you, yes or no? And if someone says, that's not me, then that's cool. You get out of the conversation. You don't go into some reversed upside-down pitch that you come that you pull out of your ass behind your back because you're desperate. Learn to let people go. I mean, that's all it is one lead in the banquet of life. Also, don't tell stories to yourself about the next greatest, latest rock star that you're about to enroll in your upside-down reverse pay plan that's going to rescue you from being financially and emotionally challenged. The minute you start to give someone that power, they back up, they join the witness protection program, they disappear, don't return your phone call, you can't find them, then you're perplexed, baffled, disappointed, and overwhelmed. Oftentimes you'll pout and cry, and you won't pick up the phone for the next millennium because you had a bad experience. Bad experiences are usually stories of overwhelmed where you're very ineffective in your communication style. That's what creates a bad experience. Usually a bad experience is a direct reflection of you fumbling around with the process, not really being a professional, being a novice, a rookie, someone new. It's not your fault, but it's your responsibility to become skilled at the process. Skilled at the process means not only do you practice the repetition experience, but you become dedicated to the profession. You become dedicated to the craft. Until you're a professional, you are an amateur. Until you can proudly state, I am a professional real estate investor. Until you can proudly state, I am a professional internet marketer. I'm a professional network marketer. I'm a professional entrepreneur. I'm a professional direct salesperson. When you can state that, then you begin to magnetize and polarize to your reality people who seek people to join your profession, not just join your enterprise. You're looking to build a tribe, a culture, a group of like-minded entrepreneurs that you can collaborate with and create sales volume. Sales volume is what drives the bus. Sales volume, group volume, is what creates rank advancement. Rank advancement's key components in the algorithm, the pay plan. You start to get bonus money, bonus pool money. That's when you GP, get paid, because you create the sales volume. You create the sales volume by recruiting. You create the sales volume by closing. You create the sales volume by qualifying the leads for your time, the fundamental foundation that will create your transformation from amateur to professional is your ability to ask a question. What will keep you overwhelmed, stuck, disappointed, procrastinating is your inability to ask a question because of the story you tell yourself about not being good enough, not being smart enough, not making any money yet, not being in the company long enough, being in the company too long and not making any money. Whatever story you have, you have to let go of the control that you control that keeps you out of control, the control you control, to be and stay disappointed, feel abandoned, and rejected so you can avoid the perceived pain of success. When you let go of that story, that now leaves you as the emperor with no clothes. That means you have to let go of your ego that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. That's the story that you hold on to. As you change your story, change your life, change your actions, change your emotional state, let go of control, now you can effectively ask the questions in a sequence. The sequence of the questions in an initial conversation goes like something like this. If I am sitting on an aeroplane next to Deepak Chopra, no, I'm just kidding. If I'm sitting on an aeroplane and there's someone next to me, I typically sit in first class. I oftentimes will also sit in exit row aisles in 20 or 21 on United flights across the country. There's usually someone of influence and affluence in the two seats to my left, the three seats to my right. I once last summer watched a woman walking on the airplane. It just so happens it was in June. I was not flying first class that night on a red eye to Pittsburgh. I saw a woman walking down the aisle. She had a plastic shaker. Ding, ding, that would be a clue, the kind that you shake shakes with ice, with juice, with powder, to make a concoction, a meal replacement. She was sipping out of that with the company name on her. Now, isn't that an opportunity to ask a question? I mean, I asked her, excuse me, are you an associate of XYZ company? She says, yes, I am. I introduce myself. My name is. It just so happens that I'm a personal success coach to some of the top income earners in that company. See, I'm building credibility. I'm edifying myself because no one's going to edify me in the plane. So I'm edifying a little bit about my benefits and my features, my niche, And I said, have you ever heard of me? She hadn't. I said, I gave her my business card. I said, if you'll send me a friend request, I will gladly accept. She did that before we arrived in Pittsburgh. I had a very short conversation with her the very next morning when we arrived. I let her know I'd be speaking in the city, San Francisco, where we were departing. That woman ended up at my event, hired me to be her coach, and has since referred me a few other clients. So see, that, once again, is what happens when you ask the questions. That young woman also asked me to come to her team's party last Thursday night and made an appearance and met several of her people of her influence and affluence, and I met that woman on the plane. Remember the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Strangers on the Train? Well, there are no strangers when you have charisma. There are no strangers when you have the ability to ask a question. Now, I fly about 150,000 air miles a year. I seldom strike up a conversation with someone sitting next to me in first class. I do it when the situation's ideal. I strike up a conversation with someone gives me eye contact. I strike a conversation with someone's warm and friendly. But if someone's reading a magazine, I don't go, hey, you, hey, homie, hey, homespun, hey, home turf, hey, home team, hey, you, cuz, hey, yeah, what about you? Hey, sir, ma'am, hey, I got an opportunity that you really ought to take a look at. You'd probably be really good at it, and why don't I just sit here for the next half hour, throw up all over here, let me give you some earplugs, put these in while I talk to myself, make a complete fool of myself, pee my pants, because I got so overwhelmed at what I'm doing. Yeah, that's what you got to do, listen to what I have to say. Man, this is really good, you're going to be really good at this. Yeah, we got people, man, I got to introduce you to this person. That's what most people do, is a TTM, they talk too much because they get excited. They're like JoJo the Indian Circus boy and girl. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. I haven't had a sale since the late 70s. If you get started my enterprise, I can retire off you alone. That doesn't work very well. That is not effective on any given Sunday. That's what the National Football League is on any given Sunday. But on any given Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, your AIC should be in a stationary point. Calling, qualifying some leads. Yes, I know in today's world, you can call a lot less because you can leverage yourself through Facebook, through LinkedIn. There's other ways to message people through the typed word. The typed word is just as effective as the spoken word if you're effective articulating your feelings into words. But if you say to yourself, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at selling, I'm not good at writing, I wouldn't know what to say, I don't want to put myself out there, I'm a private person, I don't know who, I don't want my friends to say. Well, you have to let go of control of being disappointed. You have to let the cards fall and effectively learn how to ask and or write the questions, either written and or spoken. There's three situations you do when you communicate with someone. The first situation is you qualify the person for your time. The second situation you do is you schedule an appointment, meaning you put the person in a position that they can review some part of your system. You should have a recorded call. You should have a video. You should have a blog. You should have a screenshot. You should have something that directs someone that they can capture enough information that they become inspired by what they watch, what they view, what they read, whatever the situation is. Whatever that is, you want it to be relatively short. If you want someone to review a video, it shouldn't be a 45-minute video or a 45-minute webinar because, quite frankly, that's way too long. But if you have a video that's 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 22 minutes, 25 minutes, then that's pretty standard. Pretty standard is around 12 to 15 minutes to give someone enough content that they feel inspired enough to want a little more. You can also use shorter videos for certain situations, but in reality, you want to have a video that's comprehensive enough that it tells the story and it inspires the person to say, wow, I want to do that. I want to live the good life. And you have to be able to do this. Once again, qualify the person for your time, schedule the appointment, close the sale. I mean, that's the sequence. This should be able to be done in one, two, or three conversations. on a very small percent of the time you can close a sale in one conversation, primarily because the person has gone through some lead system or lead funnel of yours. They've gone through a process, and when you're able to converse with them, they've seen enough that you can close the sale. There's also a few people who are ultra-qualified buyers who have watched you brand yourself. They end up in your inbox or send you a message, say, I've been watching what you're doing. I want to join you. That is called the laydown sale. That is what we all pray for, a few laydown sales. You will receive a few of those by respecting the law of large numbers, qualifying people for your time, writing good sales copy. You'll have a few people. Now, there are some certain people, you'll hear them say this, my lead box, my inbox, my voicemail is blowing up. What does that mean? It means that they're effective at marketing. They're effective at marketing, and they've attracted people to their inbox, their lead box, or their voicemail by being able to brand themselves, brand their message, brand their products and services through attraction marketing, through an attractor factor. And then is when you have these kinds of leads, when effective asking becomes an absolute skill. Being able to effectively ask questions is a skill. How are you? What do you do for a career? How are you today? What do you do for a living? Where are you flying to? Where are you headed? Where are you from? What do you do for a career? What do you do for a vocation? What do you do for a job? What kind of business do you own? These are standard questions that are less than 15 words. Now, here becomes the transactionary phase. You move into to closing the transaction by asking this question. Is that a good business for you? Is that a good restaurant? Has that been a good experience? Is that a good job? Is that a good vocation? Is that a good career for you? Not really. No, it sucks. I hate it. That's what you're looking for. People are voicing their displeasure. They will do it in a multitude of ways. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, yeah, Y-E-A-H, yeah, it's okay. Okay, another acronym. What that means is they just voice their displeasure without saying a lot. You'd have to be able to intuit, interpret that through your inner knowing that was a buy signal. When someone says that, now you can ask this question, have you ever considered? Have you ever thought about? And don't do this, wow, you'd be really good at this. I have something I think you'll really enjoy. I have something that I think you'll be really successful in. You're prejudging. And don't ever create a romance for someone that you don't really know much about them. Oh, my God, he owns 6 gyms. I am going to be JoJo the Indian Circus Boy, enroll this person, get all of his clients on board, get my products and services in a gym, and I will be rich, rich, rich. It doesn't typically work like that. Factor this. Almost practically every gym owner you will ever encounter has been approached by every broke dick network marketer in the history of network marketing, multi-level, internet marketing, and all of the above. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't bring on a great gym owner, but you have to be able to see if they qualify for what you do. You have to see if they have a problem you can resolve. You do that by asking the questions. I happen to be driving by. I see that you're a full-service gym. I stopped by to see if it was possible to speak to someone who's in the decision process, who I may be able to converse. I mean, you have to be able to ask the questions to get to the person who makes the decisions. I typically do not like to take network marketing into on-street selling. Some people do it. I prefer to call the person on the telephone, state my name, where I'm from, and the purpose I'm calling to see if I can schedule an appointment. Although, there are certain people who are skilled at walking in. The problem with that is, though, you have to be really skilled at it. I am. I used to sell Yellow Pages for 4 years. That's door-to-door canvassing. I've done it in the thousands of times. I've been tossed out of companies, not physically, but I've been asked to leave. I've seen signs that say no soliciting. I went in and solicited anyway. And you have to be able to get through the gatekeeper. It takes a lot of skill to do that. That's not typically something you're going to teach to someone who's relatively new. The easiest way to teach someone how to do this is ask a series of very simple questions about the outcome you seek, the sequence of the questions. The sequence of the questions lead to this, qualifying the person for your time, scheduling an appointment, doing a follow-up call, closing the transactions. I do really good. I'm a really good connector, but I hear this every single day. But what? That's what you set on. That's called your ass, your butt. Yes, that is true. But what? But is where most people validate, justify why they're not. This sounds really good, but. Hey, I don't mean to be negative, but. I don't mean to tell you what to do, but is the transitionary situation where most people validate, justify, give you reasons that they can, can't, will, won't, shouldn't, couldn't, are unable to. You want to be able to pick up on that quickly when you hear that. When you ask someone a question, they go, that should let you know there's going to be three to eight seconds while they are formulating their feelings into words as they're trying to think of what to say. Now, typically the type of person who has to think of what to say typically has to think what to decide. That person that typically thinks has to analyze, revolutionize, systemize, get ready, know all the facts, benefits, features, know all the flaws before they ever really come around to deciding. They typically take the longest time to decide. Then there are the proverbial people pleasers of society. That's about 65% of society. They typically are very cause-driven, service-oriented, and they typically decide also, they typically want to take their time because it has to feel right. Saturn and Jupiter have to align for them to for Mercury to be in retrograde for many of these type of people to decide. Then there are the qualified emotional buyers. They tend to buy spontaneously. Those are some of the type of people who don't. They can intuit. They can decide based on feelings also, but it's a little different kind of feeling. They can emotionalize the situation. They buy emotionally. Then there's the spontaneous buyer. They're a very, very small percent of the population. They spontaneously know. They're the kind of people that know that they know. They trust themselves enough that they know a good value when they see it, hear it, sense it. And they're the type of people who typically don't have to do a lot to be able to close the sale. But if you try and talk them out of buying, then they typically get exhausted with you and go find someone who has much higher self-esteem than you do. But if you talk to yourself, well, I can't talk to high-priced people. I can't talk to successful people. I can't talk to white-collar professionals. I can't talk to business owners. And this model is, I haven't, so I can't. Unfortunately, a lot of people do this, is they tell themselves they haven't, so they can't, so they never really get around to asking the questions. To be able to become effective at asking the questions, you have to let go of your anxiety of failing and or succeeding. A large percent of society talks themselves out of failing but staying disappointed by saying that they have fear of failure, so to avoid failure, they procrastinate and they get ready to get ready. They listen to a podcast, a download, they go to a seminar, a rally, and or a convention, and then they talk themselves out of ever really engaging. It's not engaging the enemy, it's engaging engagement. You have to be able to let go of control of the outcome and be able to ask those questions in a very relaxed sequence. How are you today? What do you do for a career? What brings you to these parts? You ever come to the back, holler back here? I mean, these are just simple questions that you ask. It's not complicated. It's systematic. It's a method. It's a system. If you don't have a system to ask the questions, then you have a system to wing it, a system to fail, a system to get overwhelmed. You do not require a script, although a script can be beneficial because it will at least give you a guideline, but you have to be able to be unscripted by doing enough to be skilled at it. And my grandmother can do this. I have actually assisted many women with no sales background, no sales experience. I've assisted young people in their 18s, 20s to be able to do this. This is a very simple process. But if you continue to tell yourself how hard, how difficult, how you don't like rejection, you don't like abandonment, you don't like being overwhelmed, you don't like making mistakes, you don't like failing, there you go, cuz, C-U-Z, there's your O-U-T, there's your out. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They create their out before they're in. They never really get in the inner game. They stay on the outside looking it through the glass, hoping that someday, mythically, magically, they too can walk the stage. They too can go to the French Riviera. They too one day can live the good life. You cannot live the good life if you're not in the game. I had someone tell me, someone today going, oh, I'm so passionate. I'm going to live this big life. I'm going to do this. Oh, my God, I've got so much greatness within me. And I'm like, hey, cuz, slow down. How about the first phone call? Oh, yeah, that first phone call. Yeah, well, I never really get around to it. I'm so busy being great, my future greatness. I'm so intoxicated with the helium balloons that I suck the helium out, talking like Donald Duck about how great I'm going to be one day, that I'm going to share my greatness with the world, that I'm going to make an impact. I want to make an impact with the world, but they never really get around to prospecting. Why is that? Because of so much anxiety about the outcome, so much anxiety about failing that they never shoot the free throws in the dark. They never get in the batting cage. They never do the extra putting. They never do the floor exercises diligently as the lights close in on the gymnasium. They never practice the simple discipline required one day at a time over a long career to get sober. You know, success is a lot like sobriety. It's not something you get to skip around on. Yeah, I didn't go to a meeting today because, you know what, I just didn't really have time for it, really. Well, I didn't prospect today because, you know what, I had a lot going on today. Well, I'll do it later. That's what most people do. They don't have the emotional discipline one day at a time to go to a meeting. They don't have the emotional discipline one day at a time to prospect for half an hour, an hour, 2 hours. 2 hours? You mean I have to make phone calls for 2 hours? I have to make cold calls for 2 hours? Yes, that's really what you should consider. You don't have to do anything. You can keep doing what you're doing, be a broke dick, go to all the seminars and rallies and events, practice self-help for the rest of your career, never rank advance, go bankrupt, go broke, be a disappointment. You can do that because you don't practice the rules of engagement. Unfortunately, that's what most people don't do. You put in 12 hours today? Are you kidding me? Are you a workaholic? No, I own a business. People, are you kidding me? You put in that much time? Yeah, I do. I own a business, a couple of them, as a matter of fact, and it requires some. But isn't that hard work? Is that difficult? No, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to own a business. It's called free enterprise. When you're the CEO of your own corporation, when you actually own a corporation, you actually are on the title, you're the stockholder, you're solely responsible for your profit, your profit, when you understand leveraged income. My assistants last night were burning midnight oil. My assistant, Chris Schar, had a couple of his mentorees down at my commercial property, and they were going through the back office. They were learning a little bit about the pay plan. They were practicing the simple discipline. They were preparing to execute to be excellent. You have to be able to prepare, execute. See, if you don't execute, then all your preparation goes for naught. Prepare, execute, results. That's what it is. That's the sequence. Prepare, execute, results. That means that you can prepare all day long, but execution is the repetition and experience. It's asking the questions in sequence. Yeah, well, what are the questions? The questions are, what do you do for a career? How long have you been doing that? How serious are you about starting a business? How serious are you about improving your health? How serious are you about improving your vanity? How serious are you about creating a six-figure income from the comfort of your home? How serious are you about becoming a seven-figure income earner? How serious are you is the number one qualifying question that you ask early in a conversation. Have you ever considered owning your own business? Is another quality question that you ask early in a conversation. Have you ever considered being an entrepreneur? I ask waiters and waitresses frequently, not really. I'm going to jump school. I'm going to be a fireman. Right on, cuz. That's great. Not really. I'm just getting by. No, I'm going to nursing school. Well, you just disqualify yourself before we got around to it. Many people say to me, don't you think you're prejudging people? I go, no, I don't think anything. I let you do the thinking. I understand the law of averages. When someone isn't interested, I don't stalk them, chase them, or beg them, because there are plenty, P-L-E-N-T-Y, of qualified, bona fide prospects who deserve the message that we are delivering. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call is officially a call, has been recorded, will be available for playback tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time at calls.goldenmastermind.com, calls.goldenmastermind.com. I look forward to seeing you this coming Saturday in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I will also be in many places on the East Coast and the South, and I'm also, like I said, have an open date on March 21st. Thank you very much, everyone. Have an outstanding evening, a great week, and finish the month of January 2015 strong. Good night, everyone.